good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Monday morning, the 7th day of July. We got Brother David Tucker and Brother Joe Barner in this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yeah, I like it. Good morning.
That's right. Excellent morning.
It is.
It's not too hot.
No.
It's not overwhelmingly muggy.
No.
And so for July.
But rain's coming, they say.
Well, did you have to go there?
Well, I mean, you know, I just had to throw that wrench in there, you know.
Not such a good morning.
You know, well, you know, and two, I know I mentioned this morning, everything going on in Texas.
Yes.
You know, we definitely want to lift those folks up.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of things going on. I mean, I think, what was the last total, 80-something, I believe?
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah, something like that.
And a number of them missing.
Yeah, still missing. So, you know, just let's remember them in prayer this morning.
But they said it was something like a 20-foot rise.
Yes.
Out of like an hour?
Just
that's
quick.
I've always heard of flash floods. I've never heard of that kind of dimensions.
No, not
that's
that fast.
That's just hard to
boom.
Fathom.
Yeah, I told my wife, I said the rain had to really be coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Fast and hard for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know. It's very, it shakes your soul.
It does.
To think that life can change that fast.
That fast.
Everything was fine, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't.
Then boom, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the way it is.
Well, I tell you, why don't we begin today just with a prayer?
I think it's good.
For them. So let's start with a prayer. Lord God, I thank you for today that we're able to engage it. And Father, I can't imagine the parents and families who today are just unable to function because of the sorrow and the grief they're feeling that just overwhelms them. Father, these things, when they happen, we don't understand them. We know that they're not out of your reach, not out of your control, but Father, we will say that they are just completely out of our understanding. And so we pray for your grace and your mercy and your strength to be with those who are hurting, and you would be with those who are trying to help and those who are trying to recover. And Father, we pray that you will draw out of it the good that only you know how to do. But we do pray that you would be with those folks today as they're lifting their head up and just asking why. Give them your love, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I tell you, we're going to be in talking about missions on Missionary Radio today.
All right.
And
how fitting is that?
Exactly. And so we'll be starting over there in the book of Acts with the commission to missions.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 1 John 4:21, and he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. After a Sunday school lesson on the Ten Commandments, the Sunday school teacher asked the students, now, which of the commandments applies to our relationship with our siblings? A little girl thought for a few moments and brightly replied, do not murder. Sometimes you may feel that way, but the truth be known, you love your brothers and sisters. The Bible reminds us that in Christ, we are made brothers and sisters in Christ. We are known by our love for one another. So, you're free to let Christ love through you. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
1959, Cuba.
This is the biggest demonstration in Cuba's history. Almost a million people are here. There is Fidel Castro, the leader.
Cuba then became a one-party, communist and atheist state.
When the revolution took over in 59, things becomes bad to the churches.
But today, this longtime Cuban pastor sees hope.
We really think that this is our time to reach our country. Now people are willing to listen to the gospel.
Cuba needs Jesus. Cuba needs you. You can be part of something really big. Join TWR in taking the good news of Jesus into Cuba every night by radio.
Radio waves can reach everywhere. any Cuban could listen to the gospel.
Partner today with TWR.
Join us for Cuba Needs Jesus July 14th and 15th on Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch here on this Monday.
Well, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about missions. And the reason we're going to do so is because Missionary Radio is all about missions in a very mm-hmm. real sense, but also because every believer is a missionary in some regard. Missions is something we always talk about as a process of going and doing, but the truth is you go and you do missions in everyday life, in every moment of life, because the areas in which missions takes place is in every place that you live. So we're going to take a look at two scriptures as we jump into it. One is in the book of Acts, and of course, it stems off of the Great Commission, which is there in Matthew, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Go ye therefore." I'm old enough that I memorized it, King James, into all the world, right? And he says, "I want you to baptize them and make them my disciples." And so the commission we have is to go and duplicate what's been done in our life. You receive Christ, you want to pass that on so others can receive Christ. Literally, that is the only job. You got one job. That's it. Mm-hmm. You think, well, I'm not an evangelist, or I'm not a pastor, or I'm not a teacher, or I'm not a singer, or I don't know how many committees and jobs we have in the church. In truth, there's only one job mm-hmm. for every believer, and that is to go and make disciples, to live your life in such a fashion that you duplicate what God has done in your life. And if you're not doing that, then honestly, the rest of it is complete waste. You say, well, I make the best dinner rolls for our church socials. Everybody compliments my dinner rolls. God bless you. I'm glad you do. But unless the gift of hospitality is being used to engage and make disciples, mm-hmm. then it's wasted. Now, I'm not saying it can't be. By the way, dinner rolls are an amazing way to break into witness.
Oh, yeah.
You can take bread, fresh baked bread, to a neighbor. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You've just opened up the door of the gospel. Amen. You know, everything that we do has that opportunity. But God says we only have one job. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a radio station, or whether it's a home on a neighborhood block, or it's a guy who's the pitcher on a baseball team, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, mm-hmm. you're a missionary. Every individual is a missionary. My phrase always that I use at our church is every member a minister. In other words, don't wait for the preacher. You are the preacher. Go and do it, because you have the same God mm-hmm. that the preacher's God, and the same Spirit will work through you. So if you're waiting on somebody else to get it done, then, well, my dad used to say, you're lazy.
Yeah, that's right.
My dad used to look at me and say, well, why didn't you? I said, well, that wasn't my chore. That wasn't mine. He's like, if you see it needs being done and you're not doing it, then you're just being lazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
Mopingly go to do it.
And so I think there has to be times when the Heavenly Father looks at us and says, you're being lazy.
You're being lazy.
And we have to acknowledge and say, okay.
Yeah.
So the call to being a missionary is to every believer. If you're a believer, you're a missionary. Now, how are missions done? Well, God actually gave us a path or pattern of where it can take place and how it should take place. And what I'm going to say is that what Joe's going to read is actually going to be a prioritization, not just a geographical categorization. And those are big words.
That's big words.
I'll explain them in just a second.
So he said to them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
So as he's speaking to the disciples and he tells them that you're going to be my witnesses, which is what a missionary is. You're a witness to the experience that God has given to you, you're going to pass it on to someone else. The first place he says that you're going to be my witnesses to is where, Joe?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
Right where they are.
Exactly. Where you're standing is where you begin. And what I'm going to say is it's also a prioritization. So over in 1 Timothy there in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says of those who are elders or those who would seek to be ministers, he says a deacon, a servant, must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. In the same way, he says in Titus, there in chapter 1, that the elder or overseer manages God's household, must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, and not given to drunkenness. And then he states he must hold firmly and trustworthy to the message he's been taught, and he must be an elder whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. He says, if an overseer is unable to manage his house, how will he manage God's house? So in Titus and in Timothy, as he talks about those who are ministers of the gospel, those who are going to be servants of the gospel, what he says is, if you're not taking care of your house, you're not going to take care of God's house. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to take care of what's inside the home, you're not going to be able to help God in managing things that are outside the home.
Yeah.
So when he says Jerusalem, I want to push that to the extreme because Jerusalem was not just the city, it was their home. Mm-hmm. That was their hometown. As a matter of fact, as Daniel, when he was being told that he couldn't pray to God, he opened his window and he looked to the east, which was where Jerusalem was. That is their heart. That is their home. So when God says Jerusalem, what he really is saying to the people of that moment in that day, where your heart is, that's where your witness begins. And so if you're a deacon, and I know you are, Joe, in our church, and you don't witness to your wife, in other words, share with her the ministry that God has blessed in your life, if you're not consistently ministering to her, then you can't minister to others. Until you're ministering to her, you're no good to all the rest. And for preachers, if I can just say this to my fellow ministerial people, the church is your mistress if you allow it to be so.
Yeah.
Don't let the mistress have what is deserving of the wife. Mm-hmm. Do not allow the church to steal from your marriage or to steal from your home. Excuse me. The love that they're supposed to be receiving from you. And when I say love, I mean the ministry of God. If you're not sharing God's love with your children and with your bride, then how in the world are you going to be sharing it with the rest of the church people? Mm-hmm. If you're yelling at your wife before you head off to preach that Sunday, good golly, should you even be in the pulpit? If you're, you know, unbelievably angry with your children and have unleashed on them before you head off to teach that Sunday school class, why in the world are you even cracking the Bible unless it's to have repentance within your own heart? If you're not dealing with your home spiritually, then you're not dealing with the world in God's name. Now, there have been people who have done amazing ministries, are professional successes, but I would say they're not ministerial successes because they have not been where they need to be with God and their family. I'm not going to go back into all the scandals that have racked the past, especially with Christian music and some other things, but when those scandals come to light, all of Christian music takes the hit.
Yes.
And when those scandals come to light in preachers, all of preachers and ministry takes that hit. We need to understand as believers, my first mission field is my home. And so when your feet hit the bed, hit the floor, when you get out of bed every morning, you need to be going to God and thanking God for what you've been given in your family.
Amen.
I don't care if the wife burnt the meal beyond all recognition last night. You need to be thanking God for that bride your feet hit the floor the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't do that, if you can't love and minister to your family, you can't love and minister to the church. I don't care how talented you are or how slick you are or how professional you think you be. You be? That
you
was
be
good grammar.
A good grammar.
But it don't matter because I love my wife. Well, now, for this moment, we're going to take a moment and see what real ministry looks like, and that's the words of encouragement that come from family. So here are some words from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, may we all be humbled and seek His glorious face and keep our eyes fixed on Him. I thank God for Missionary Radio. May we bear fruit, for He is coming back. Glory to Almighty God for Jesus. From Bumpus Mills, thank you for all you do to spread the gospel to everyone. Also from Clarksville, praying for continued blessings as you serve our Lord. May we meet all your needs in this difficult season.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
Monday morning, front porch.
So today we're talking about missions, and we started with the calling that missions is the one job of every believer. It doesn't matter who you are. We like to define missions in multiple different ways, whether it's a sports missionary or a military chaplain or whatever. But we always think of missions as always away from where we're at, and missions actually starts at home because when you go from the Great Commission to the mission mission commission, which is in Acts 1, then God gives us not simply a geographical process, He gives us a prioritization where it begins. So if the disciples are not going to minister in Jerusalem, their home, then they're not going to do any good elsewhere. But when you minister in your home, that's not where it ends. You say, well, our family's believers, and we go to church every Sunday, so we're doing good. No, that's not where it ends. It's supposed to grow from your home into the world. And so he says the next two places that we're going to talk about are the intermediate places. And I like that God uses intermediate terms to kind of give us a segue into the uttermost parts of the world.
Yeah.
So what are the two intermediate places that he mentions there in Acts 1, Joe?
He says in all Judea, and then he says, and Samaria.
There you go. So when he says Judea and then Samaria, why delineate those two different things? What do you think?
Well, Judea is kind of the general area, just kind of expanding out from home base.
That's right.
In Jerusalem.
Sure.
And these are people probably still quite similar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so if you want to think of it, you can go from the home to your neighbors. Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Jerusalem's the city and Judea's the burbs, okay?
Okay. All right.
It's the greater metro Jerusalem area.
Okay.
And so these are the folks that you know, and they are of the same culture. They are of the same language and accent. And when you talk to them about eating grits, they understand what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they get all of that. And so when he says Judea, he's saying you need to move past your doors to your neighbors. Now, this is going to be confession time. So if I was to say, how far down your street can you name your neighbors? Okay. I can tell you that I can get with where I live, because we live kind of in the country, so it's a fair distance between. I can name off neighbors two doors down, maybe three. But past that, I know their faces and I can wave, but I don't know them. What about y'all? How far down the street can you name neighbors?
Not very far.
Okay. Yeah, not very far. Right. I think I have maybe one down the road. James is his name that I know.
Okay.
Because he used to live next to my mom, which lives across the road from us.
Sure, sure.
So other than that, I mean, I really don't.
Isn't it amazing that in a world that has all the technology of communication that we have, we are more isolated than we ever have been before?
Mm-hmm.
And what it takes is actually moving with your own two feet and your own two hands to go and actually get to a door.
Sure.
And in the country, sometimes, you know, you want to pick the time and you want to be very careful how you do it because folks got guns.
That's right.
You want to go and meet these people and be able to have a face-to-face conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we've done with where we're at, we got a little pond on our property. And where we're at, literally there is some acreage between houses. Mm-hmm. And there are big old dogs too. So you kind of have to work your way around that. That's why I know that the folks that are right next door, because when you're talking right next door, you're talking 15 acres sometimes between houses.
Sure.
And so I know them, and I know their dogs.
Yeah.
Where I don't know the dog, I'm a little more concerned. So one of the things that honestly we did is we just said, hey, we're going to have a pond day because we got a pond in the back of the house.
Sure.
And so we put invitations in everybody's mailbox and said, hey, we're going to provide the dogs and the buns, and we're going to have a campfire, and you can bring your fishing rod and bring the kids or the grandkids and come and go fishing. And I got to meet a bunch of neighbors. And I'm terrible with names, so I've forgotten a lot of names, unfortunately. I want to do that again.
Yeah.
Because it was such a good day of meeting my neighbors. And then as I meet them, I get to share gospel.
Sure.
I get to talk about who's changed my life and how my home is changed because of the grace that God has given to us. Now, do you have to do that? No, you can have a Tupperware party. I don't care. You can do whatever you want to.
Yeah.
But you find a way to connect with your neighbors. Maybe it's a community-wide yard sale, right? We're going to have a street yard sale. Would you like to be a part of it? And it's just an opportunity for me to meet my neighbors. Or, like we were talking about before, if you're baking bread and you bring the best bread to the church socials, start wrapping it up and dropping it off on porches.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, if the dog don't get you, the people will.
That's right. That's right.
They're going to come after you to find out where that came from. Mm-hmm. So we have an opportunity to meet our neighbors, and I find it's really interesting. Folks in church know everybody in church, and they're really proud of how they know everybody in church, but they don't know their neighbor.
Don't know their neighbor, yeah.
A pastor one time, his name was Fred Livingood, and he was a part of the Living Good Clan. And the Living Good Clan was a big barrel-chested group of burly men and one woman.
Okay.
And she was an amazing lady. So anyway, Fred was a pastor down in Richmond, Kentucky. And I remember driving with him. I was doing a revival for him. And he was driving me about, showing me the area. And quite literally, every house we passed, he would tell me the name of the family inside. He would tell me the church or no church that they went to. And he would tell me something about their family life.
Now, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. When you're traveling through the county, and he's just traveling, that house there, it's yours. You know. Now, he had been in that church for, at that point, I think, moving towards 25 years.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. There are folks who have lived in the same house who still don't know their neighborhood, and they've been there for 20 and 30 years.
Yeah, I know.
So that impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've tried to do with where our church is at is try to learn the people that are right around our church. And we have a high rental community, so there's a lot of changeover. So you learn somebody and then they're gone. But still, learning your neighbor's names is massive. That's missionary work, and you need to be a part of it. Now, the Samaria, well, those are the neighbors you know but you don't like. So let's talk about them. The missionaries that do the work of missionary work, really, with the grace of God in its heart, they reach out to the neighbors nobody wants to.
Yeah.
They reach out to the neighbors that are hard to love.
Mm-hmm.
They reach out to the neighbors that are a struggle to care for.
Mm.
I've had some neighbors that we didn't always get along. And one of the things that I have found is that if I do what God asked me to do, it doesn't guarantee that they're going to be easy to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
But it does change my conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I go with the understanding of I'm a missionary, I'm not just a neighbor concerned about my HOA, or I'm not just a neighbor concerned about my property values. I'm not just a guy who's upset about your junk in your yard or however you want to phrase it. I'm here as a minister of the gospel, and so that's going to curb my tongue on how I talk to them. Now, I can still talk to them about things that need to be talked about.
Sure.
But it's going to curb my tongue in the way that I bring out my attitude. And so I'm not going to ask you guys if you got some neighbors you need to do that with. But I will tell you, I've had some folks who got up in my yard, and I've had to tell them, you're not staying here, and you ain't ever coming back in this yard. And in all honesty, this is a true story. But they've started coming to church. And
really?
And so I've gotten to know them, and one of the reasons they got up in my yard is because I made a mistake.
Yeah.
And I owned up to it. Once I owned up to it, that smoothed it out.
Yeah.
And they made a mistake. They owned up to it. That smoothed it out. And since then, yeah, they've been attending. And so it's really interesting when you get to preach to somebody that you were being a lot more self-righteous with earlier.
Yeah.
But they're the best people and the best neighbors now.
Yeah.
They were a Samaria, and now they're part of the home, you know, part of the neighborhood. And that's who he's talking about. He had to tell the disciples, you got to go to them. This is not a choice. You're a missionary. You got one job.
Yeah.
Go to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Leave nobody out. And you say, well, you don't know my neighbors. Nope. And you don't know mine. And so I don't know your Samaria, and you don't know mine, but I will tell you this, the call is still the same.
Amen.
We are called to start in our home and then go to our neighbors and then go to our neighbors we don't like and share the gospel regardless, because God came to us when we were less than lovely.
That's
right. We were not even poor neighbors. We were the worst person in the neighborhood, and Jesus came for us. And so when we're talking about missions, the priority is, if you're not doing those first three, you're not going to do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Folks say, well, I could do missions if I was going to X country. No, you won't, because you don't have a love for the folks that are in your own home or in your own street or in your own neighborhood. Until you get that, you won't get the rest. Now, when we get back, you guys are going to talk about going to the uttermost parts of the world. And I can't wait to do that. But first, we need to hear from Johnny Erickson Tata.
Hi, I'm Johnny. And do you recall the war long ago between Bosnia and Serbia? It raged between those two countries all throughout the 1990s. It was a vicious war, and thousands lost their lives, or were left homeless, or horribly disabled. Shortly after the war was over, my husband Ken and I visited that part of the world with our Johnny and Friends team. We were there to encourage churches, to distribute wheelchairs, and to shower love on the many soldiers and family members who had become disabled, both in Bosnia and in Serbia. With no social services and a government that was being accused of war crimes, people with disabilities were caught in the cracks. The poorest of the poor they were. And I saw awful images and heard terrible stories that I'll never forget. My heart broke, and I remember thinking, oh, how I wish we could do more for the church here in the Balkan Peninsula, as well as do more for all these wounded people with disabilities. It just seems that, I don't know, giving wheelchairs and Bibles just isn't enough. I put that matter to prayer, not knowing back then what God would do. So, okay, Fast forward to the year 2020, when the world was hit by COVID, everything shut down. But our partners in places like El Salvador, Brazil, Nepal, and, yes, Serbia, kept ministering to the disabled in their countries. Our precious partners told us, "Johnny, we don't need wheelchairs for these people. We need food and water for them. They need medical care and equipment. Can you help us?" And that started us praying. We asked God how we might effectively give his gospel, yet also meet the social and economic needs of these disabled and provide hands-on practical help like medicine, food, medical supplies, hygiene kits, Bibles, scholarships for surgeries for children with disabilities, and more. We moved forward with this idea, and after more prayer, feasibility studies, and discussions with our international partners, we launched the first Johnny's House. Johnny's House has Bible studies, biblical counseling for special needs parents, micro-enterprise opportunities for young people with Down syndrome. There are Johnny's House programs in Asia, in Nepal, El Salvador, in Brazil, and also now in Serbia. 30 years ago, I visited that war-torn area, and I prayed, I wondered how we might support churches and help those with disabilities, and now God has answered. In fact, my husband Ken and members of our staff will be heading to Serbia to celebrate Johnny's House in that country, and we're going to thank our wonderful partners there and the churches. I sure wish I could go with Ken to be in that part of the world again. But with my fragile lungs, it's just not possible. But I'm so grateful that Ken will be there to represent me as we lay the groundwork for the grand opening of Johnny's House, Serbia. We'll be thanking the many Christians who have worked hard to make this dream a reality. And I couldn't be happier. 30 years later, I am so happy. So please pray for this new Johnny's House opening up not too far from Belgrade, the capital of Serbia. Pray also that God will use Johnny's House to bring many people with disabilities and their families into a saving knowledge of Jesus. If you want to learn more about Johnny's House in other parts of the world, then visit johnnyradio.org, where I've provided a link to Johnny's House. Learn more about it at johnnyradio.org. That's your good word today from Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
Local Christian Radio, 100% listener funded. We're in our 43rd year of broadcasting, and soon we'll celebrate 44 years on August 3rd. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio. Local means a major part of our mission field is the area we cover with 89.3 FM, Hopkinsville, Fort Campbell, Clarksville, 91.7 FM in the Madisonville area, 90.5 FM all of Western Kentucky, and 98.9 FM Dixon, Tennessee, and in partnership worldwide with TWR. Radio is still a major way to share the gospel. Right now is a critical time for us. We need our old partners to return. Our current partners, we say thank you, and if you can help out more, we ask you to consider it, and new partners to join us. Funds are low. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment Systems, or send your gift to Missionary Radio, Post Office Box 1029, Hopkinsville 42241. We are 100% listener funded Missionary Radio.
Well, we are down to two missionaries on Missionary Radio today.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother David has left to do some actual mission work.
Yes.
With one of the local churches in the association doing some work in our Judea.
There you go.
So
that's nice.
Yeah, it is.
That's really nice.
So we were in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord told us, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's interesting, the Samaria was the third place that Jesus told his disciples, told us that we would be his witnesses. Samaria was a place that had a long-standing hatred and a bitter relationship with folks of Jewish descent.
Okay.
And in fact, in the Jeremiah Study Bible, he says the bitter hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans was long-standing, In 722 BC, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom and swept Israel away in captivity to Assyria. And during those years, the Jews dropped all their prohibitions against intermarrying with the Assyrians, and they lost their ethnic purity. So there's a situation in John chapter 4 when Jesus tells his disciples, I need to go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
It was folks would go out of their way to avoid Samaria. Jewish people would. So
if there was a detour, they'd take it.
They would take the long way around.
Okay, gotcha.
Rather than go through and encounter those people. And the bitter relationship went both ways.
Sure.
In fact, it was prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go to our Samaria, I think sometimes we need to overcome some of those prejudices in our mind and have the Lord deal with them so that we can begin to love people that we previously didn't love. We may have had some grievances with them. Mm-hmm. But that is where Jesus met the woman at the well and told her about living water that he would provide for them. Mm-hmm. So we're to be our missionaries in our home, in our local city, in our Jerusalem, and in the region around. Mm-hmm. It would probably involve Kentucky.
Oh, yes.
It would involve Tennessee for you folks in Tennessee. Yeah. And then there was Samaria, people who are not like us. We have to cross some barriers in order to share the love of Jesus with them. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth, and that is a good part of the ministry of Missionary Radio.
Yes.
In fact, when Missionary Radio started, it was started by folks who had been missionaries in Nigeria, Bob and Joan Amos.
Yes.
And they started the station with a desire to reach especially the soldiers at Fort Campbell.
Yeah.
And so our signal was aimed initially at Fort Campbell.
Fort Campbell area.
And the Lord threw in Clarksville,
there
honored that vision. But they were hoping that the soldiers would become missionaries to the gospel.
Sure.
As they heard the gospel, they would respond and they would take it wherever they went around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then the internet came on.
Oh, yes.
And Missionary Radio is now online at missionary.radio, where you can listen wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then our partnership about 10 years ago with Trans World Radio came online, where Trans World Radio broadcast in hundreds of languages.
A lot of languages.
All around the world. In fact, where missionaries cannot go. TWR goes. Places like Cuba.
That's right, like Cuba.
Well, now Cuba is beginning to be open because Ken went on a recent mission trip to Cuba.
Yes.
Ministering there with some folks from Crofton Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And they ministered in Cuba. That was the initial project that Missionary Radio partnered with TWR to get the gospel into Cuba and into much of South America through that signal on Bonaire.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to have another project coming up involving that Cuba needs Jesus. You've been hearing our friend Andy Napier talk about Cuba needs Jesus. The need is great to keep the gospel beaming into Cuba. Ken said it's like a mission field that he has never seen, the responsiveness of people to the gospel. So that's coming up next Monday and Tuesday.
Yes.
John Somerville from Trans World Radio will be here with us at Missionary Radio, and we'll have the opportunity to join hands with TWR and help to get the gospel, to keep it going into Cuba. While folks are responding, while the fields are white unto harvest, let's get the gospel into that.
Yeah.
And so be listening. next Monday and Tuesday, ready to allow the Lord to impress your heart to respond, to help get the gospel into Cuba. Now we've also done radios for Africa.
Yes, we have.
With Trans World Radio,
yes,
where we actually put radios in the hands of people in Africa, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that could listen. They were solar-powered or wind-up radios.
It's neat.
TWR also provides radios for people in places like North Korea, mm-hmm, to be able to listen to the gospel. Places that missionaries could not go.
Sure.
But the signal of TWR around the world goes into Korea. It goes into Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
It goes into Russia. And so that's the kind of partnership that we have. 10% of your gifts to Missionary Radio go to our partnership with TWR,
mm-hmm,
and to keep the gospel flowing into those countries.
That's right. That's right. Joe, one simple thing, too, if you want to, you know, start giving right now, you can go to the website, missionary.radio, and there's a banner on there that says Cuba Needs Jesus, and you just click on that banner, and it's going to take you to that site.
So you don't have to wait till next Monday and Tuesday.
You don't have to. You can do it right now. That's
okay.
Right. Just by going to our website, missionary.radio. Go to the banner, Cuba Needs Jesus, click on that, and you're going to have the options pop up, and that's how you can start giving right now. Yeah.
So let's be missionaries where we are, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We have an opportunity with a partnership with TWR to get the gospel into countries all around the world, and specifically focusing next Monday and Tuesday on getting the gospel into Cuba.
Amen.
Again, go to missionary.radio, click on Cuba
Needs Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thrive Worship Breakthrough is coming. I'd like to remind you, once again, Cuba Needs Jesus. Go to our website, missionary.radio, click on the banner, and you can start giving right now. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch. Join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.